praise him for a minute. Amen. God, we want you in the room. Amen. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Amen. In the Old Testament, God came in the room. In the New Testament, God came in the room. Amen. This is the room that God comes into. Amen. The room of our hearts, mind, spirit. Amen. Thank God, God fills the room. Amen. God can drive things out of the room. Amen. And put his presence in the room. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm transformed. Hallelujah. By God in the room. I'm made new when God's in the room. Amen. The scripture says you can't put new wine in old bottles, because new wine in an old bottle will destroy the bottle. And then it's all wasted. Both the bottle and the wine are wasted. Amen. But if you put new wine in a new bottle, amen, both are preserved and made better. So it's not talking about bottles and wine. It's talking about us, amen, and the Spirit of God filling our life and making all things new. He's not going to come into an old vessel, amen. He wants to come into a renewed vessel, amen. He wants us to be renewed so his Spirit lives in us. Somebody say, thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. What great promises are in the Word of God. Amen. That God is here, that God's in the room, and God's in the room. Amen. If you don't have God in the room here, amen, maybe by the end of the day, you'll open the door and let God come in. God's a gentleman. God's not ice. He's not going to kick the door down and raid your home. He's not going to do that. He's not the FBI. He's not going to bring a SWAT team into your heart and to your life. But God's going to open, amen. If you open the door, God's going to walk in through your open door. Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, do any of you have a mirror? Do any of you have a cell phone? You could take your cell phone, turn on selfie mode. Look at it. What do you see? That's the room he wants to fill. Amen. That's the life he wants to change. I'm very thankful for his promises. Amen. I've had an amazing week. Why don't you turn around, somebody shake their hand and say, man, you look good in church. One more time. Just tell them, man, you look good in church. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's awesome to have our friends in church. I'm thankful for everyone that's here. Amen. If you're new, this is your first time here or second time here, we're very thankful that you're here. And I see several new folks in your. It's awesome to have you. And I believe God moves. Amen. Even in new people. Even in first timers. Hallelujah. God can move and change. And I'm very thankful you're here. Yesterday I spent most of the midday into the early afternoon, mid-afternoon, at a funeral for a young man that attended our church for a period of time. He actually came in through Stronger Than Addiction. He had just gotten out of prison and wanted to get away from drugs and addiction and all of those things, all of the demons that can come with that kind of problem. And he came in through that. I met him downstairs in our Stronger Than Addiction program, and we became friends. And he came to church. I had damaged his heart, maybe through some of his addictions. His heart got damaged, and he went through and had a heart transplant. a young man about 4 or 5 years ago, and he died last week at 38 years old. And I felt really, really bad for him and his family. But they asked me to come and preach. He's not been here in a bit, maybe a year and a half or two. He's not been in our church. But anyway, they asked me to come and preach. And I was amazed. The room was packed. They set out chairs and then set out chairs and then set out chairs. And people were standing along the back wall. People were in the halls. People were standing in the doorways to remember this, I'll call him a young man that passed away, because when he was here and I prayed with him, and I prayed with him through his heart transplant, and he came in and testified that God was with him, and he was able to get the heart, and he was doing really well, but his body eventually rejected the heart. And he spent the last year going through all the steps of rejection. And I didn't even know. I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know. And he didn't call me. Some of the others didn't mention it to me. If they did, I don't remember anybody ever saying anything. And then he passed away. But the thing that struck me and the thing that I preached about was he wanted to serve people. And he was known as an over-the-top kind of person in every way of his life. Most of the people in the room probably were friends of addiction. Let's just call it that. Friends in that framework. Jordan Maddox was there, so he's the exception to that. But there were a lot of people that I think had been touched by addiction. And I had an opportunity to speak to 150 to 200 people that most of them, I think, are outside the church. And what an impact that made on me. I mean, I just can't tell you. There's a world that needs God. There is a world that needs God. This young man, in his quest to be Jesus, was not perfect. He had lots of faults. But in his quest to be Jesus, he bought a new pair of tennis shoes and had his girls in the car with him. And I don't know if it was immediately after leaving, he went to Walmart and bought a new pair of shoes. And at some point, maybe a few days after he bought it, maybe it was the same day, I didn't get all the details of it, but he was driving away, and the cart guy in the parking lot, you know, the guy that they send out in the parking lot, rain, shine, whatever, to get the carts and bring them back in, they're generally not the CEO. They're generally not somebody that's going to say, hey, I'm going to give you a job, or you're nice to me, here's $50. It was the cart guy. And the cart guy's shoes were not fit. And I don't know why he noticed the cart guy's shoes, but just driving by, that caught his attention, that those shoes are really in terrible, terrible shape. And he stopped his car, got out and walked over, met the young man. I hope he asked him what size he wore. But he reached down and peeled off his shoes and handed them to this young man and said, look, you need these more than I do. And he handed his shoes. And his daughter said he turned around and walked back across the wet parking lot in his socks and got in the car and just drove away. To hear his friends tell it, that's who he always was. He was always willing to stop and help. He's always willing to take his time to serve somebody. And I mean, the room was packed. And everybody that spoke to me about him said that's who he was. He helped me. I needed to move, and he helped me. I needed to fix this problem in my house or my car, and he stopped and helped me, or he came over and helped me, or he came and helped my mom, or he came and helped. He served people. Exodus 34, verse 29 says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tablets of testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the elders of the congregation returned to him. And Moses talked with them, and afterward all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded. So after he was with the Lord, he came out and shared what God had given him. I want to talk about the mountaintop for a minute, and then I want to talk about the valley. Would you pray with me that the Lord would help us today? Amen. That he'd speak to our hearts and our minds. God, I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for people that reach to you, that have faith to believe that life doesn't always have to be the way it has been, but that, God, you're an opportunity to live a new life, to be changed, to be washed, amen, for our feet to be put on the right path. God, that peace would fill, that love would fill us. I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would move in the room. I pray, God, open hearts would have the Lord move into their room. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody said amen. You probably know, if you don't know the details, you probably know the general idea that Moses goes up to the mountain and comes down with the tables of stone. You might not know all the details of that, and sometimes people have difficulty placing that event in context, but the context of it is Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years, and God had rescued them and brought them out and said, you're going to be my people. You're going to be my followers. You're going to follow me, and you're going to love me, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to be an umbrella to you. I'm going to be a covering for you. I'm going to protect you. There is a two-way street between God and man, and there is always, hear me, there's always a two-way street between God and man. I said when I started that God is not ice. He's not going to come in and force himself. He's not the FBI. He's not going to raid your heart or raid your mind and force you into something. But he is a gentleman, and he will come in if you open the door and let him come in. He will bring peace if you'll let him come in, but he also will impact your life. He will change you. I've said this recently, and I want to make it pretty clear that God wants to take out what binds you, what holds you, what keeps you from presence, what keeps you from anointing, what keeps you from the infilling of the Spirit, and God wants you to let go of it and take it out of your life, because you can't come to God full and stay full. You've got to realize, God, there's some things I want to empty myself of. I want to lay down out of my life so I have room. I said a few weeks ago that you don't buy a new couch and just set it on top of the old couch. If you got a ratty old couch and you're going to buy a new couch, get rid of the ratty old couch and put in a new couch. Amen. But also, you need to get rid of some ratty old thinking, some ratty old ideas. In Egypt represents the ratty olds. Egypt represents bondage. It represents being held in something that you can't break out of. It literally, they held them, and they were slaves to their master. They were slaves to the Egyptian. So they had to do what the Egyptians told them. The Bible describes it as a hook in the nose of a bull. You can grab a bull with that little ring in his nose and hook him and drag him wherever you want to go, because that little bit of pressure puts a lot of pain in the bull, and so he follows you. And Egypt was that. They were dominant. They were domineering. They were controlling when to get up, when to go to bed, where to work, how hard to work, how much you're going to produce. And if you don't, there's going to be punishment for you. It was a brutal, brutal, brutal place to live, a brutal place to work. While Pharaoh lived in houses with silk and gold and diamonds and rubies and all of that, the people of God served and lived in mud huts, and they worked and they were beaten and they were slaves. And they cried to the Lord, rescue us. Let us out of here. And so finally, 400 years, Moses comes in, you know, the miracles that he did, all the things that happened. If you don't know, let's sit down and we can talk about it at length. I just don't have time to tell you the whole Old Testament in this sermon. So let me just pass that up and give you a little bit of information. There's all kinds of things that happened, frogs and lice and thunder and lightning. There was hail that killed the animals. There was the death angel that passed over all of Egypt and took the firstborn out of every person. We talked a little bit about it as a side note in class this morning, and it was interesting. Every one of the plagues that landed upon Egypt represented one of their gods. And so God, in doing the plagues, he defeated their god and their god and their god and their god. Sometimes God reveals himself to you a little bit at a time, because really, you can't really understand all the goodness of God in a moment. You just can't understand all the good things God wants to do for you. You just can't even comprehend how much God can help you, how much God wants to walk with you, how much God wants to lift you up, how much God wants to clear your mind and cleanse your heart, how much God, in doing that, will fill the empty spaces with good thoughts, good ideas, good principles, good direction in your life. God will fill you with the good things, but you've got to allow some of the other things to be emptied out of you. You've got to allow God to make a change in you. You've got to allow God to fill you. Amen. And when he does, when you're in the presence of the Almighty, when you're in the presence of the Almighty, the Bible says Moses' face glowed. And the funny thing is, he didn't even notice it. He didn't recognize how much he had been changed. He didn't recognize how much God was reflecting out of him. It wasn't Moses' glow. It was God's glow. This is a metaphor for the future. It's a metaphor for the New Testament. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not saying it was imaginary. But God used all of the Old Testament to teach us what he's going to do in the New Testament. It's a foreshadowing of what God's trying to accomplish in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, God wants you to have such a close relationship with him that you literally glow. Amen. You're not bound by pains, and you're not bound by hurts, and you're not bound by, amen, addictions and all of these things that can tend to bind us. Fears, uncertainties, they can bind you up and hold you back. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ sets men free. Amen. He changes hearts. He changes lives. He washes away things. He makes us new. He makes us glow. Don't you think I'm glowing today? May not be visible glowing today, but it has to be spiritually. It glows in your attitude. It glows in when the evil happens to you. Does it damage you? Or do you reflect it back to God? God, this is not, they're not happening to me. These people are not doing it to me. They're doing it to you. God, and I'm going to let you handle it. I'm going to let you fight my battle. I'm going to let you make a way when there is no way, when I don't see a way. I taught a couple hours yesterday morning down in Plymouth in the college program that we're doing called Purpose Institute. And I had a thought that just went through my mind and I opened the class with. There's a new, go with me on this one, okay? You're going to think, I don't know what he's talking about. This ain't going to make any sense, but trust me. I'm going to try to make it make sense. There's a new missile I heard about that the U.S. has. You know, they've got on ships, they've got these things. I'm not sure if the right name, but they're like Tomahawk missiles. They stand up in the ship, and if they want to hit something, they see it on radar, and then they shoot the missile out of the ship, and it takes off in the direction of whatever it is they're trying to hit. And for a long time, those missiles that came up out of ships were isolated onto the ship, and they were isolated within the envelope of the radar of the ship. However far out the radar could see, they could hit that target if it came within the radar envelope of that missile and that ship. Well, they decided they really needed a missile that would reach further than its standard capabilities were in the radar. The issue wasn't the missile, the issue was the radar. It couldn't see very far. So they decided they would put that missile on a plane, and then the plane could go out a little ways, and then it would have its radar, and the missile would go out just a little bit further. So they recently have come up with this addition. They're going to put that missile on a plane, and that plane is going to talk to a plane 100 miles away, and it's going to use not that plane's radar, but this plane's radar, which can reach out, I don't know how far, maybe 100 miles or 80 miles or however far it is. So instead of just coming off this plane, listen to me, I'm going to connect the dots here. This ship has radar and can see a certain distance. It'll fly off a plane, and the plane will go out 250 miles, whatever it's got to go, and it has radar that'll go out another mile. That's 350 miles. And then there's another plane out here on the edge of that, and it's got radar that's reaching on out, so they could shoot a missile that would go all the distance and connect the radar to the middle plane, the radar to the outside plane, and finally hit an object way off in the distance, way far away from the ship that fired it or the initial plane that fired it, and it shoots over the horizon off in the distance because there's a radar there in the distance that sees. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Y'all are going, I don't know what you're talking about and what that means about anything. Here's the point. Many of us have radars that you see about 12 feet. You don't see what God's doing?
You're not even sure if God's doing it. And you have faith enough for what you hold in your hand. You got faith enough. You want something solid. I want something I can hold on to. This is, I'll believe it when I see it kind of faith. You give it to me and I'll believe it. You give me $100 and I'll believe I can get $100. But I'm not going to believe it until you've got to let me put my finger into his hands. You got to put my hand into it. Then I'm going to believe God. That's the 12-foot radar. I'm only going to believe what I can see, feel, and touch. You tell me something happened somewhere, and I'm not too sure I'm going to believe it, but if I can touch it. Well, the great thing, I'm here today to let you know, you will be able to. You wait and see what God does in your life. But when you're serving God, you're serving a God of yesterday. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that is and was and is to come. Amen. He is the Almighty. He is the Creator. He is the Designer. Amen. He knows you, where you're at. But he doesn't just know where you're at. He can see where you need to go. Amen. He can point you in that direction. And he can guide your footsteps so you miss the pots and the falls and the holes and the potholes and the messes of life. And you can avoid them. And God will, listen to me. Amen. God will gently. I love using you. Your mother gets a little nervous when I use you. Amen. But God's not out here jerking you around saying, watch out, watch out. He's not throwing you into a mess or confusion. He's not jerking you around. Amen. The way God does it is he says, hey, listen, God is speaking. If your radio is on the wrong channel, you need to just change the channel. Because God's trying to show you. God's trying to speak into your life. Everybody in this room. Everybody in this room. God is trying to speak into your life. God is trying to guide your footsteps. Because he said he wanted to do that. He said he would do that. That if you would listen. If you'll hear. Amen. He'll heal your lands. Amen. If you'll pray. God will answer prayer. He'll make a way where there is no way. Amen. And God will say, hey, hey, watch out there. Come on, step over this way. That'd be a good idea. And that's your choice. If you want to step in the mud puddle, go ahead. But if you want to avoid that, there's a trap here. There's a snare. Come on. There's a snare in front of you. We're going to avoid the snare. He actually said he'll make a way. There's a way to escape the traps and the terrors of the world. It's a spirit of God. It's you trusting God. It's you in prayer. Amen. It's you with him living inside of you that God will lead and guide you into all truth. Amen. He opens up your mind, and then he opens up your mind, and then he opens up your mind, and he keeps opening up your mind. The Bible says, here a little, there a little. Amen. And as you live life and you live for God, all of a sudden, there's a scripture says he gets sweeter. He gets sweeter. Man, I'm too scriptural. When they made showbread and they put showbread in the tabernacle, the showbread had a bitter, the outside of it, it had bitter herbs. There were bitter herbs all over the outside of the bread. But the Bible says they made the bread with a special ingredients that when you, if you lick the bitter. And if you're thinking, well, do I like that bread or don't I like bread? Let me just taste it. You know how people taste stuff sometimes. Can I lick your Bible? I'm not going to lick your Bible. But when you when you bite the bread, it's sweet as honeycomb. He gets sweeter. The more you know, listen, I've been married for 45 years. Dear God, I'm an old man. Never thought I'd say I'd been married for 45 years. Never thought I'd hit 45 years. And in August, we hit 45 years. And I think I like my wife better today than I've ever liked her. We have a better relationship. I'm telling you, God's better than marriage. And living for God is better. If you stay in relationship. Moses went to the top of the mountain. You can be seated. Moses went to the top of the mountain. He met God. And the Bible says, he asked God, I want to see your face. See the face. I don't want to be just spoke to by the clouds. I want to see God. And the Bible says God created a place. He dug out a little spot in the mountain. And he said, I want you to stand inside of that spot. And Moses gets inside of the spot. And then the glory of God goes by. And God said, you're not ready. I can't show you my glory fully. But let me put my hand over it. Let me cover your face. And what it must have been like to have the hand of God in front of his face. And the Bible says God made all of his glory. Could you imagine? I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the angels surrounded, flying around him, cried, holy, 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 holy is the Lamb. Amen. The Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, and the beauty of heaven, and the train filled the temple. His coat, a robe, literally flowed around the temple. It filled with the robe of God, was all around the temple. And the angels were flying around crying, glory, glory, glory. And in a moment, God let all of that go and stepped out of the splendor of heaven and came down to show Moses himself. Just let him see himself. But he couldn't let him see all of it. He held him from seeing it. And then the glory of God goes by. And when God gets well past him, God pulls his hands off that cleft in the rock. And Moses can see. The Bible calls it the hinder parts of God. He saw where God had been. Could you imagine that? Seeing the glory that still hung in the air as God walked by. And it so impacted him that maybe for the rest of his life, Moses would have to put a sheet over his head when he went out and talked to people because it was just too intimidating for Moses to go out there and glow, and everybody else didn't glow, so Moses is glowing. So Moses wears some kind of a veil over his face. But when he went into the tabernacle that God told him to build, and he went in to talk to God, he'd reach and pull the glow off. Because the glow giver was in the room.
hear me.
I'm telling you that the glow giver's in the room. Amen. The peace giver is in the room. The transformer is in the room. Stand with me, would you? There's a verse. I have more to preach, but I just feel like this is a good time to stop. Do you have it up there on the screen? The next verse that I had. Habakkuk says, "Oh Lord, I've heard the report of you and your work, oh Lord. I do fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. Revive your work. If you can do it back then, if you can do it 100 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, last year, last week, do it in me. Let there be a revival in me, in mine, where I'm at." I just feel like in the room there are people that have come to say, "I need his reviving. I want him to revive the joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I need that to be revived." In the midst of the years, make it known. Let others see. I can't tell you how many people have come to God and then gone back to work and didn't even say anything. Just didn't even say anything. Didn't go, "Hey, found a great preacher, found a great church, found a great corner, found a great prayer, I found a great touch of God. I'm now this holy roller." No, not at all. They just come in and people at work say, "What happened to you? What changed you?" By the end, it tells the tale. Drinker back in his youth. He's told it a number of times. Beautiful story. He came to God, came to an altar, and he said, "You know what? I'm not going to live that old life. I'm going to give up that old life, and I'm going to follow Christ." And his friends were shocked. "What happened to you?" "Well, I heard the report. I heard about the work that you do in people's lives, God. And I'm a little nervous about it, but in the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of these years, make it known. Make yourself known in my years, in my life." Every head bowed, would you please? I'm just here to tell you that he's in the room. That his presence lives. And his love lives. That joy exists. The gifts of God are obtainable. He can build his home in us and never move away. I want to open up the altar. Something in your life, I want you to just step out. Take a step of faith. Literally, it's a step of faith. God, I want to know that God. I'm telling you, people will come around and pray with you.
that have had God do absolute miracles. We've seen healings and cancers healed and miracles happen and finances taken care of and lives change and family situations turn around. Amen. And I invite you to step out and come down. Amen. I invite you to come and pray. I invite you to come and let God do that new thing that you want Him to do all over the building. Would you help us? Amen. Would you begin to pray wherever you're at? Amen. Would you begin to pray? God, do that.